And we are joined once again on the Green by contributor Larry Nagengast, who this week takes a look at the impact the coronavirus crisis will have on a summer staple, summer camps, which some may be gone altogether, others trying to salvage something of this summer. Larry took a look at what was going on across the board, and he joins us now to talk about it. Larry, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here.
So let's start with kind of just getting the lay of the land. Some camps are just kind of throwing in the towel. Some are not. Which ones are already saying they're not even going to try to open this summer, and what's their rationale for that?
Well, okay, first of all, I have checked a lot of websites. I've made a number of phone calls and email inquiries, but you know, I certainly didn't contact every camp operator throughout the state. I mean, there are dozens, so probably hundreds of them. But anyhow, with that caveat, I can identify at least three significant camp sponsors that are shutting down for the summer. The Girl Scouts of the Chesapeake Bay, Hagley Museum, and Camp Arrowhead, which is a program of the Episcopal Diocese of Dover of Delaware that has been running in Lewis for 65 years. Now, I did talk to Walt LaFontaine, who's been the director of Camp Arrowhead for many years, and he gave me a number of reasons for shutting down for the entire summer. Overall, as the staff at Arrowhead considered alternate plans, they concluded that the restrictions that are now in place would have made it impossible to continue many of the activities that have been signature portions of the camp's traditions for years. And then there were all sorts of uncertainties, whether the counselors that they hire from overseas would be admitted to the country on time due to both coronavirus and immigration restrictions, and whether they can secure needed cleaning supplies. I mean, you just think about, you know, getting enough Lysol wipes when you're dealing with 1,300 campers throughout the summer, not to mention the safety risks to both the campers and the counselors, who during their free time would typically spend a lot of those hours in crowded resort places like Rehoboth and Ocean City. So, you know, you add all that together and they've got very good reasons for saying, hey, you know, we just can't get this done and do it right this year. So, and I think if you ask anybody else who has already decided to shut down for the season, I'm pretty certain that, you know, they'll give you similar explanations for what's behind their decisions.
Having said that, the ones that are holding out hopes to move forward, what's kind of the timetable for deciding whether they can or not? Like so many of these other things that we're reporting on these days, it seems it's very much tied to the state's reopening plan, right?
Yeah, there's no consistent timetable here. And the operators are telling me that they want to make their decisions anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks ahead of the scheduled starting date for a particular camp session. They need those couple of weeks there to do a final setup, make sure they've got everything in order, and they also don't want to surprise families by making last-minute cancellations. Now, the state's reopening plan doesn't allow camps to operate during Phase 1, which is supposed to start on June 1st, and is expected to last at least 2 weeks. So that means that the earliest any of these camps are likely to open would be June 15th. However, if the camps don't open then, from the people I've talked to, it's far more likely that the sessions aren't going to start until right after the 4th of July. As you said, the openings will be tied to the state's reopening plan, and we don't know yet what Governor Carney's Phase 2 is going to be like, when it's going to start, and whether summer camps are even going to be allowed to open during this Phase 2.
But just based on what we've seen so far from the governor's plans, if these camps do open, they're going to face a lot of considerations they don't normally face, largely dealing with what you alluded to earlier, with safety measures. And these are no small issues, right?
Well, no, they're not small issues, but fortunately, all of us are getting used to some of these changes in different aspects of our lives already. But it will be a first-time experience for the summer camps. You know, we're looking at things like curbside drop-off and pickup for the campers, temperature checks, hand sanitizing stations at check-in and all other sorts of places on the campsite. The number of campers is likely to be smaller, you know, maybe maybe in on the order of 30% of what the normal camp size is, and they're going to be organized into smaller groups. And you can expect that the camps are going to have new rules, things like you'll have to bring your own water bottles with your name on it, no sharing snacks, things like that. You can expect that counselors are going to be wearing masks. And even the day camps, operations that are much smaller than Camp Arrowhead, are going to have to make sure that they've got enough sanitizer, enough cleaning supplies, and so on in stock so that they can keep their program safe throughout the summer.
How about virtual options? Are they on the table for some of these camps to convert like the schools did for the school year?
Yeah, absolutely, and to some extent, the people at the camps are learning from what the schools have done as the schools ventured into distance learning this spring. Several camp operators are considering going down the same path. Two of the most notable that I spoke with are Delaware Technical Community College and the Delaware Museum of Natural History. They're both working on virtual programming that they could use if they're not allowed to open on site. And I'm pretty certain that there are going to be others that are thinking the same thing at this time. Virtual camping is not going to mean doing, 6 hours of video that looks like what a camp day would be like, rather it's going to be a case of essentially, programming experiments, projects, putting that on video, and then being able to do these exercises, projects at home. And that's going to be done with parents being able to pick up kits, learning kits from the camp, a couple of days before the camp starts, so that they've got all the needed materials at home for when the kids are working on those projects. I mean, so essentially what the virtual program is going to do, it's going to bring summer camping experiences into your living room and into your backyard.
You talked to a few parents for your story. How do they feel about this situation? I imagine there's some trepidation, particularly around things like safety that are so front of mind for everybody.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Safety is paramount for just about everyone. The parents that I talked to made the point that they know what they're doing to keep their own kids safe, but they can never be sure what other parents are doing. So they're being quite cautious. Part of being cautious means that they're thinking about only sending their kids to camps that they know about, camps that have operators that they can trust, that they've had experiences with before. And the camp operators I talked to say parents are hitting them up with safety questions. What are the precautions that they're taking to make sure that their kids are going to be safe when they do arrive at the camp?
But not having camps to send their kids to could make for a long summer for families if kids feel cooped up at home after already remote learning at home since March, right? I mean, this is something I'm sure some parents are fearing.
most definitely. And I mean, by now, we've certainly all heard accounts of the challenges that parents are facing while they're working from home and they're having their kids also at home from school doing classwork at the same time. So you got parents and kids sharing computer time during the day, parents doing double duty as teachers, parents working well into the evening to get their the work for their own jobs done, things like that. It's fair to say that a summer without camps is going to be much more of the same. Parents dealing with work stresses while having to keep the kids active and functioning in a way that they don't get bored.
And there's another piece to this too, Larry. I mean, many camps offer value, kind of beyond just being a place for people to park their kids, educational value, some other things that parents value about the camp experience. Is that something that parents you talk to are also worried about losing those things?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I think Richard Gordon, who is one of the parents that I talked to, summed it up very well. And here's how she put it. She said, camp isn't just a place to put the kids. We see it as a way to make new friends and to learn new skills. So if you think about it, maybe it's music, maybe it's dance, maybe it's swimming or computer programming. summer camp can be an opportunity for youngsters to learn new talents that they wouldn't necessarily pick up during the school year, or to focus more intensively on one of their passions and get even better at it. No summer camp for many kids is going to mean a missed opportunity that they're never going to have a chance to make up.
But I guess maybe the good news here is that chances are this is a one-year issue. Unlike some other areas affected by the pandemic, no one expects camps to face long-term damage or changes, do they?
Not quite sure, but you know, let's put it this way. You know, we've all heard talk about a second wave of coronavirus in late summer or the fall. And if there's a second wave, well, might there be a third or even a fourth? You know, the fact is we don't know. And if there are multiple waves of this virus, what we see this summer might possibly be repeated next year. But it is fair to say at least these two things. First, in a planning or predictive sense, no one is looking that far ahead, looking at next summer right now, because we've got to get through this summer. Second, being realistic, a lot of us are recognizing that what has become our new normal in the last 2 months may very well continue being normal for us for months and even for years. So, yes, I think the expectation is that camps will return to what passes for normal operations in 2021, but that normal might include lots of hand sanitizer, lots of daily temperature checks, as well as thousands of kids making new friends, learning new skills, and creating for themselves memories that are going to be quite different from what they're unfortunately having to experience this year.
Larry Nagengast, as always, we appreciate your time. We appreciate your reporting. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, you're quite welcome.